Welcome to Less Than 12 Parsecs, the fastest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. Now here's your host, Tim McMahon.
Hey, it's Tim. Now, the last episode of Less Than 12 Parsecs has only been out for a few hours now, but I've already had people contact me about it. Man, that's awesome. Episode 206 was titled, Dumb Stuff I Thought About Star Wars as a Kid. This was a great idea that I stole from the Star Wars Junk YouTube show. So what comments have I received? Well, a few people did say, man, you were dumb as a kid, weren't you? Well, yeah, guys, that was the point of the show. No, not really. No one ever said that. People did, though, ask if they could get a copy of the article I mentioned from Star Wars Official Poster Monthly Magazine, issue number 4, 1977. This was the article about stormtroopers that I read as a child that made me believe that stormtroopers were just orphans raised by the Empire. Sure, I could scan that page and stick it up on the web for everyone to see, but instead, I think I'm just going to read it to you. Yeah, why not? It's an easy way to make another episode, right? Because you asked for it. Sit back and enjoy. And now, for your listening pleasure, an article entitled Soldiers of the Empire, from issue 4 of the Star Wars Poster Monthly, copyright 1977, written by Anthony Fredrickson. Soldiers of the Empire. Star Wars invites speculation. The richness of this artificially created universe is the result of an intense curiosity it arouses in its audience, but never satisfies. We are allowed only a fleeting glimpse of a fabulous universe, and, like passengers on a train passing through a foreign country, we beg to see more. Stormtroopers represent a frightening view of the soldier of the future. They are man-made men, but lacking even the simple personality found in the works of Doctors Frankenstein and Moreau. Or do they? Part 1. Origin. The creation of an Imperial Stormtrooper, a cloned man, is one of a group of genetically identical humans, an assembly line product. He is a thinking man, but he serves a specific purpose and no other. A clone has no mother, only his trainers, and he accepts his fate because he believes it is inevitable. A clone is, physically and emotionally, a normal man. He simply has no human rights and no name. He is the property of the Emperor. Soldiers fully formed in the growth tanks quickly proved impractical. Scientists found themselves the befuddled fathers of 160-pound blubbering idiots. A fetus is now removed from the hatchery after a gestation period of 60 weeks and is delivered immediately to the hands of its trainers. Part 2. Training. As kids, stormtroopers live like hardened cell block inmates, only barely under control. Hundreds of nasty little orphans with only one thing on their minds: the sheer, unparalleled joy of a good raid. These boys know they are special, and they strut with the proud arrogance of a samurai. Their military education is picked up as naturally as an infant learns to talk, and any purpose other than their preordained future as commandos is inconceivable. By the time they are actually contracted into service, each trooper is anxious to fulfill his common lifelong ambition: to wear the Imperial armor and to be carried away with the Starfleet into incredible adventures and battles. Trainees are generally devoid of imagination, but after years of rough talk and stories of conflicts lost and won, individual temperaments emerge. The introduction of the TIE Assault spacesuit. A white eggshell worn like a second skin, and made of super lightweight impervium. Many troopers become so attached and dependent on their suits that they fear to remove them. A black two-piece body temperature control glove is worn under the armor and is adjustable for comfort. 18 pieces of armor, which include the battery box and control devices, snap together to form an effective anti-laser cocoon. Indirect hits are reflected off the surface of the armor, though it provides little protection against a well-aimed piercing blast. During off-duty hours, only the body glove is worn. Each trooper is issued 2 body gloves, 1 set of armor, and spare parts. His helmet features automatic polarized lenses and voice-activated transceiver. Belts include specialized survival equipment, concentrated rations, emergency batteries, and a comm link. Additional equipment is issued for desert or Arctic use. Impervium resists decay so effectively that early models of the spacesuit can still be found near century-old battle sites. They bring high prices as souvenirs, and privateers rebuild them for another 50 years of good use. Part 3. Promotion. Promotion to squad leader comes with battle experience and long months of straight duty. Just staying alive long enough helps. Most old troopers are squad leaders. Real promotion, however, is a step up to the Imperial Guards. Each guard is assigned to an executive of the Imperium. Governor Moff Tarkin's personal guard, 40 men. Lord Darth Vader's personal guard, 12 men. Snappy uniforms and light duty. A guard travels with his assignment, usually to the plushest environments. However, there are hazards. The personal ambitions of the leader one is assigned to protect may give rise to little publicized but very lethal feuds. The size of a titled officer's private army is a factor in realizing his political goals, and Imperial Guards often find themselves in the role of hitmen. It is a satisfying position. A guard never feels he is playing the traitor by assassinating rival Imperial officers. Troopers have always been taught that the enemy are worthless insects to be stomped out, but a guard who has successfully overcome or defended against other Imperial Guards feels that he has defeated an opponent worthy of the effort. A healthy spirit of competition exists in their ranks. No one is exactly sure what qualities make a clone worthy of promotion, a special alertness perhaps, but they are much envied. Imperial Guards are allowed liquor and women. Part 4. Retirement. Only a small percentage of troopers survive to retirement age. As they get older, they are assigned to light duties, training, communications, stores. Eventually, they are sent to the Troopers' Rest Camp on the holiday planet of Sochi. There are tales of troopers who, captured by enemies or wounded and abandoned by their companions, now live and breathe outside the influences of the Empire. They have names. Without their armor, they are almost indistinguishable from the general population. Of course, such cases are rare. Officially, they do not exist. For the most part, however, Imperial Stormtroopers remain loyal lifers dedicated to the preposition that the only good alien is a dead one. Again, that was Soldiers of the Empire, written by Anthony Fredrickson from the Star Wars Poster Monthly magazine, issue number 4, 1977. Thank you.
You've been listening to Less Than 12 Parsecs, the fastest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. For links and show notes, visit our website, 12parsecpodcast.com. Follow Less Than 12 Parsecs on Twitter at 12parpod, on Instagram at 12parsecspodcast, on Tumblr at 12parsecspodcast, and find us on Facebook as well. And please let us know what you think. Email us at 12parsecspodcast@gmail.com.